That journey. So turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Hope you're already there. Don't forget our Christmas offering. This week is the last week to give towards that. You can give to it online as well. And then also, if you're new here with us and you're looking for a home church, we have connection cards right there in front of you. Fill those out, give it to me after the service, or drop it back in the connections area. Also share your prayer request on there too. I know a lot of people are having some family sickness and whatnot, so we want to pray and lift those up before the year ends on us. So it's hard to believe for me that Christmas is over, one. I'm kind of thankful for one hand, a lot of work going involved, but then just start of a new year, and we're already here. So 2022 is right upon us, and so we want to just take this last Sunday of this year and just focus on Christ. And next Sunday we're going to be back at one service, and it's going to be a completely different kind of service, and so we're going to have a lot more music, a lot more praying, and just a short message from me, maybe 5-20 minutes, who knows, just a short message. And so you can't go 5 minutes. I double dog dare you, right? Triple dog dare you. I saw that movie yesterday, and there's just some funny moments in there. I don't want to relive some of those, but I'm online, so I can't really do that. But I love the phrase where he, when we're in the school ground and he triple dog dares him to, the story. So anyway, Galatians chapter 4, we're going to be there. Christmas is definitely one of my favorite times of the year, and so looking forward to celebrating communion with you. And we had a great Christmas Eve service Friday night. If you weren't able to make it, we had a great Christmas Eve service as well. And next year, Christmas is going to be on a Sunday. And so that'll be unique as well. And so I look forward to that. So the purpose of Christmas, I think a lot of times we have different levels of our understanding of what Christmas is all about. I think for most people, it's just a holiday. They schedule, maybe they have family coming in, maybe they travel, they go on vacation. Maybe they just give gifts, don't even put a tree up, but they just know it's a holiday, right? And so they just schedule it in, or maybe it's just another way for them to party. Hey, it's Christmas, hey! And so they just do different things. And so there's different levels of understanding of Christmas. And so what Paul is doing in Galatians, he's helping us go deeper in the meaning of Christmas. It goes beyond just the manger. It goes beyond the shepherds and the magi. It goes beyond all of that. And so we were just going to go deeper today. If you've ever played like video games, there's like Super Mario or there's Pac-Man. And so you have to get like past level 1 to get to level 2, past level 2 to get to level 3. And so we want to go all the way to the level of understanding of what Christmas is all about, because it's very important to how it impacts our life, as we're going to see. So level 1 is Christ for us, which is Christmas explained. And so Paul in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, when the fullness of time has come. Now think about that. Think about the last couple of Sundays we've been talking about leading up to Christmas. We talk about Caesar Augustus, the setting up of the Roman government when Jesus was born into. That was a huge moment that Daniel talked about in Daniel chapter 2, like 7, 9, and even 11. And so this Roman government was going to come about and be like this huge kingdom that Jesus was going to be born into. Then you also have the Magi understanding the astronomy, the stars coming together. They were lining up together for this very moment. And so you have everything in the fullness of time coming together at Christmas when Jesus was born. You also have prophecy of Bethlehem and in Micah 5, 2, where the ruler was going to be born out of Bethlehem. And so Mary and Joseph had to go down to pay taxes, of all things, to get them to Bethlehem so they could have Jesus. And so Matthew records that verse in Matthew chapter 2. So the Magi even asked that. And so even King Herod, think about this, even King Herod knew what the Magi were saying. Hey, we followed his star from the east. We're here to worship the king. They knew who he was. And he says to the prophets, well, where is he going to be born at? And he says, well, in the scripture it says, Micah 5, 2, so go to Bethlehem and what? Take out all the two-year-old boys and under. Now, Herod is ironically the first person in history, in recorded history, during this time to reject Jesus. Now, he was an interesting character if you study history. And so he would even go after his own family. It was awful kind of guy. But think about this. He had messengers come from across the world. He had the stars. He had the prophets. He had the scripture. He had the news of Jesus being born just south of his kingdom, and he rejected him. Wow. So Paul says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. David's lineage, son of David. So in Matthew 1:21, the angel tells Joseph, your wife will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so Christ for us is what Christmas has explained to us. He came for us. And sometimes that's like, well, that's all I need to know about Christmas. He came and we celebrated. Yeah. Well, it goes much deeper than that. Well, what did he do when he came? Did he have a purpose? Yes, he did. Notice chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 3 says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, when we studied the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at the beginning, turned into the Apostle Paul into Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, he had this moment where Jesus came after him. Remember that? Knocked him off his horse. He saw this bright light. He was blinded by it. And he didn't have his eyes open until he accepted Jesus. And so for 3 years, Galatians says in chapter 1, for 3 years he went on this journey to understand what just happened to him. He's like, this was a huge moment in my life, and I understand Christ came for me, but there's something deeper here in this story. Because he's like, I thought Jesus was dead and rose again. Everybody says he went back to heaven. They see him go back to heaven. How in the world did he come to me on that road to Damascus? And the thing about it is, we're living testimonies of Jesus coming to us, knocking us off our high horse, open our eyes up too, right? He came and visited us. He came for us. It's not just a story we remember 2,000 years ago. He's real and he comes to us. And he came for us. Well, why did he come for us? Paul says right there, to rescue us. He gave himself for us. Paul could never get over the fact that God himself took on flesh and made himself nothing to die in my place. He gave himself for me. It's an amazing truth. He says it a couple of times. We're going to read it again in Galatians 2:20. But also he says Christ was on a rescue mission. He came to rescue us from this present evil age too. So he came to forgive us. Huge news, huge experience, but also to take us out of this world. Isn't that important truth? It's like, I don't want to live down here in this mess any longer than I have to, right? Especially if it gets worse. Is there any hope of getting out of here? Yes! And Jesus came to do that. That's why he went back to heaven, so he can take us there. Amen? He can take us there. So he came to rescue us. It was a special ops mission. Think about that. It wasn't a secret mission. He told everybody what he was here to do. Right? He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's my purpose. I'm going to die and give my life a ransom for many. It's like, oh, wow. He knew what his purpose was. Secondly, to justify us. Not just rescue us, not just to forgive us, but what does the word justify mean? It simply means to declare someone righteous, to make them right with God. Huge moment, right? So there's forgiveness and then there's justification, in which we're going to look at in Romans this year. But there's justification, so it's not just, hey, I'm going to take your sins away and you're a good guy now. No, God himself from heaven says, I'm going to declare you right with me for all eternity. All your sins in past, present, and future are gone because of your faith in Jesus. Let's go a little further. Galatians 2:15 and 16. So Paul says, well, there's a gift that God gave the Jewish people, and that was called the Bible. And God gave Moses the law, right? The Ten Commandments and the law and the sacrifices and the ceremony of how to worship God, how to live for God. Right? And so what a gift to the Jewish people that they were able to translate even into our language that we get a hold today. What an amazing moment, right? And so, but the law, what God gave Moses, could not make men holy. Let's look at this, verse 15 and 16. He says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, don't you love that little discrimination right there? You Gentile sinners, you know, we're so much better as Jewish people. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too, talking about Jews, have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in him too, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. I can't make my life better, turn over a new leaf all on my own. Now, does God want obedience from us? Absolutely. But even obedience to the law doesn't save me. The law's purpose was to make me the Grinch, to make me the Scrooge, right? It was to make me guilty of sin. So if you have no law, then you, how am I going to know if I break the law if there is no law? So God gave us the law so we can know that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. So John says in the Gospel of John, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the law was to make us all guilty, so we stand in need of a Savior, but it also points to one who is going to come and fulfill the law so we can be justified by faith in him, just like Abraham was. So let's look at back at chapter 4. Flip back to chapter 4. We're going to read these important verses again. Chapter 4, verse 4. He says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son. That's an amazing statement. God could have just said, you know what? Heck with it. I've given them the law, the prophets, the nation, the promises, everything. Why in the world would I send my son? When they've messed it all up multiple times. God says, you know what? I'm going to send my one and only son. One last hope. One last rescue mission. Maybe they'll listen to him. So God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, Jewish law, to redeem those under the law, to purchase those that we might receive the full rights of sons, very important term, because you are sons. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. That's how we know we've experienced Christmas, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave but a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So the moment we put our faith in Christ Jesus, we become more than just forgiven, more than just justified. We become God's own very possession. He says, you are my child forever. The same rights that I given to my son Jesus, you have those same rights. The heirship that he has, you have because you're linked with him. That's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes, right? Because they're like, we're just of the earth. And it's like, we've never been to that dimension before, but we're going to that dimension. And we're going to sit there with Christ one day. But Christ came to redeem us, to purchase us, to make us his own. It was almost like an adoption kind of thing to bring you into the family. Many of you know the story when we got Lucas years ago in Ukraine. We had to travel to Ukraine. We had to take money with us because all the legal fees and everything else. We had to meet him and all these things. We had to change his name to our name. And there's all different kinds of things that we didn't even know about. But at the end of the day, we brought him home and he was ours. So we did all the work so we could take him home and call him our son, and he can say, hey, Dad. That's the same experience that Paul's talking about when it comes to salvation. Jesus was sent here. He paid the full price for us so he could call us his own and take us home one day. Until we get home, we have the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit, living within us. And he also says we have access to him at any time we want because of our position in Christ. The book of Daniel, in chapter 9, angel Gabriel comes to Daniel. Gabriel's the one who came to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and all of those in the New Testament. But Gabriel came to Daniel in chapter 9. Daniel was praying for his nation. And as soon as he got done praying, Gabriel comes to him. And he says, Daniel, you who were highly esteemed, he uses this specific words. He goes, the moment you stopped praying, we were sent to tell you the message. I'm like, that is powerful. So think about this. Heaven sees you as highly esteemed children of the Father. They're going like this all day long. I wonder if he's going to say anything. I wonder if she's going to say anything today. But it says the moment he stopped praying, the angel came to him. That would be a wonderful thing, right? When you stop praying, an angel come tell you the answer. That'd be pretty cool. But Daniel never saw himself like that. The angel said that about him. Said that about Mary too. It's like, why did the angels talk to us like that? Because they've never experienced forgiveness. They've never tasted of God's mercy. They're like, you've been touched by heaven's Son? You've been forgiven by heaven's Son? He came for you? You don't know who you are to us. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, we will tell the angels one day what to do. We'll be in charge of them. You're going to say, Captain Lee, Chef Boyar Lee, cousin to Stan Lee, you know, Bruce Lee, all those. Just kidding. I could go on. I'm not, all right? But he says, you who are highly favored, highly esteemed, and when you pray, we listen. I want you to think about that. So many times you think, well, does God ever hear me when I pray? Does he really take time to listen? Do I really have favor with him? Does he really see me like that? And the answer is yes. I hope you grasp that today. You have access to him anytime you want because you are his son and his daughter. Amen? Amen. Secondly, Christ came for us first and foremost, but he also came to live within us. And this is what Paul had struggled with. Christ in us. Christmas experience. And so his three-year journey he's talking about in chapter 1. And he comes to this conclusion. He grew up Judaism under the law, zealous, you know, Pharisee, all of these things. He says in verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. It's like he grasped it all for the first time. He knew the whole Bible, memorized the whole Bible growing up. He had to be a Pharisee. But it all clicked in once he read it again after he got saved. He saw it so differently. He's like, the God who created everything is the one who came after me on that Damascus road. Even from birth, he was setting me apart and calling me by grace. He came to me in grace and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he heard Jesus' voice for the first time. Whew. I remember growing up in church, celebrated Christmas with my family, but it wasn't till I was 17 that I had that Damascus moment with God. And then after I had that moment, it was like, okay, Lord, now what? right? It's like, I'm forgiven. What am I supposed to do now? And so Paul was going through that same transition. How do I understand what just took place in me? You know, 3-year journey, he figured it out. He says, God was pleased to reveal his son in me. He didn't just come for me. He wants to live in me. So therefore, I'm his dwelling place now. The temple that the Jews always wanted to build, David wanted to build, Solomon built, Herod built, one of the 7 wonders of the world, it all came crashing down. And God was telling Paul, I want to live in you. You're my temple. Another huge moment. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. This is beyond Christmas. This is level 2 stuff. God wants to live in me. Notice Galatians 2:20. Let's back it up with another verse. For, and he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives where? In me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's main focus was, hey, if God so loved me that he saved me, and he so loves me that he wants to live in me and gave himself for me, then the greatest thing I can do is the great commandment, is to love him back with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love others as I would love myself. Oh, that's what he's after. He's not after a song. He's after your heart. He's after your love. And songs are just love songs to him that we get to sing to him and tell him what he's worth to us and how we value him and love him. But if we have Christ in us, we have the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. So Paul says, he was telling the church of Colossae that he'd never been there, and he says, I got to tell you this mystery that's been revealed to me, and that is Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. And he goes, I want to tell everybody about the unsearchable riches of Christ in your life. Because once we understand how rich we are in Christ, we'll live a little different. First John 5:13 says, if you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. And I remember growing up feeling like there was something missing in my life. Sports couldn't fill it. You know, I had a great family that couldn't fill it. Great grandparents that couldn't fill it. Aunts and uncles, all this other stuff, good friends. Nothing filled what was missing. Until I met the one I was missing. And that was Jesus. And then I felt whole. Then I felt complete, and I was just like, this is what it feels like to be free. And be me. It's like, wow. But if we have Christ in us, we have the hope of heaven. And that's what he's talking about. If you don't have Christ, then you have no heaven. No assurance of heaven. So the greatest thing you can do with your life is what? To invite Christ in you. Amen. And by faith, he can forgive you. And give you a new home. Give you a new name. New family. Then lastly, level 3. And this is where most folks stop. Not all of us, but most folks will just stop with level 1 and 2. And that is thirdly, Christ through us, Christmas extended. So in chapter 5, he's talking about our new freedom in Christ and what he's done for us, and we should stand firm in our freedom and not go back under the law to try to be justified and go back, but to move forward in Christ. And notice verse 6 of chapter 5, he says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Basically, you cannot play the race card with God because he created all races. No matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. Right? He says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through what? Love. So if you have true faith in Christ, you're going to demonstrate that faith by what? Deeds and acts of love to other people. And that's why we want to spread Christmas cheer and around family. We want to give because we love family. At least some of them. Right, Thurman? I mean, yes, sir. We just love just some of them. No, but he says the only thing that counts, think about that, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If you go to the great love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, what, there's three things that remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is what? Love. The greatest thing you can give to someone else is love. It's the greatest thing you can do. Love for him and love for other people. Then in verse 13 of chapter 5, he goes, you too, my brothers, were called to be free, verse 13, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. No, rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in this single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does many things. Love sends cards. Love bakes cookies. Love makes dinner. Love cleans clothes. I tell my wife, I run my house. Everybody's like, what? Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say I run my house. I run the vacuum sweeper. I run the dishwasher. Hey, we're called to serve one another in love, right? You can use that one when you get home, all right, guys. The last point here I want to make is in 1 John 7 through 11. The real reason he came, level 3 Christmas. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love, think about this, does not know God, because God is love. Let's keep going. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that what? That we might live through him. And let him live through us. That's level 3 Christmas. Christ came for us, one. Christ came to live within us. And then thirdly, to use us. It's like, well, why did he leave this planet? He could have stayed. But he chose to leave and says, you know what, the same spirit I had on me, I'm going to give to you. Now you go and fulfill the mission all over the world, what we've been doing. That's our mandate. That's our mission. Yeah. That's what we're called to do. It's why we're still here. So we're in essence to bring Christmas to the world through shoeboxes, through supporting missionaries, places where we can't go. We can send them, right? And the people we know in our family and workplaces, neighborhoods, schools, colleges, wherever it might be, guess what? Try to reach them. Try to tell them about Jesus. The greatest thing that ever happened in my life. You know, many folks only get to level 2. Paul struggled with level 2. Does he really live in me? But now he says, no, he wants to live through me. And I want to challenge you this next year to think about that next part. How does God want to use me to do what he's called me to do? I don't want to let fear stop me from God using me. It's like, well, how do I overcome fear of failure, fear of maybe disappointment, maybe fear of trying and not doing a good job or not meeting expectations what other people may have? How do I overcome all of that? You just focus on his perfect love. Because 1 John says, perfect love casts out fear. If I do everything with my motives with love, I leave the results to God. Hey, if I were to teach kids because I love kids, that's a good motive, right? Hey, if I want to serve down to salvation because I love people, yeah, I want to do that. I don't want to let fear stop me from serving him. Because we're called to have Christmas extended. Today's the day after Christmas, December 25th. Christmas didn't stop yesterday. Because you didn't stop yesterday. Bring that joy, bring that peace all year long. You know, this, the movie The Wonderful Life has been out for 75 years. Came out 2 years after World War II. Jimmy Stewart was doing his thing, serving our country. Then he came back and made a movie, and it was A Wonderful Life. And every time a bell rings, yeah, you guys know the movie, right? So it's 75 years old, but in the movie, guess what? Mr. Bailey struggled with his purpose, struggled with the impact that he was going to make in this world. And he got so low about it that he tried to jump off the bridge. And the angel stopped him and jumped in, and he had to save the angel, right? What was the angel's name?
Clarence,
right? He was on Clarence. Attaboy. So he saves him, but he reminds him, he takes him back, and he thinks about all the little things that he did for people in that town. And he starts to, it's like, wow, I was just showing love to people. That's all I was doing. That's the whole purpose of the movie, was to celebrate a wonderful life with Christ by helping other people, using his store, using his business to bless other people. It's like, wow, he got Christmas. He got it. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for helping us understanding all that you want for us this Christmas. Why you came, and what you did, and where you want to live, and who you want to use. And so, Lord, help us grasp these truths. Help us live these truths. Help us extend Christmas to this coming year. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.